I'm glad you're all here. It's February 14th, which means it's Valentine's Day, but thanks for spending your Valentine's Day with us. It means a lot. And we're finishing up our series called The Untouchables. And at the end of the night, you'll hear about what's happening next week as we start something new. But we've all been tricked before, right? You know what it's like to be tricked. Maybe it was a harmless prank. Like tripping you or pulling your chair out from underneath you or putting something in your locker. But some of us have been tricked and deceived into something worse, where the purpose was to harm us or to embarrass us or to even get us into trouble. When I was about your age, maybe a sixth or seventh grader, I got this brand new Huffy bike. And I was riding in a park that was kind of behind my house, and I thought I was so awesome. My bike was amazing. And we had this thing at the back of the park that we called the Big Dipper. And it was just a big steep hill, and then when it got to the bottom, it just ramped and went straight back up on the other side. So it was just this big valley that you rode your bike down. There were lots of jumps and everything that the Big Dipper had. I'm going to keep talking. It's kind of loud. So I was at the Big Dipper, and there were all these high school kids, and so I was going down it and back and forth, and I thought I was so cool. And then one of the high school kids said, "Hey, can I ride that bike down the Big Dipper?" And I thought, "Whoa, that is awesome. Yes, you can ride my bike." And so he took it, and all the guys around were watching him, and he rolled it back like 10 feet from the edge, and he got on and started pedaling. And when he got to the edge of the Big Dipper, he jumped off and just sent it flying over the edge of the Big Dipper. And I saw it land in the bottom, and just the wheel broke off and the handlebar was bent. And I was crushed. My brand new bike, I was tricked into letting this guy ride it. And I remember how bad that made me feel. And if you've been tricked and deceived, you know how bad that makes you feel. But if you have, you might find it comforting to know that Jesus went through the same thing actually quite often. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, were always trying to trick him and deceive him into getting him so that they could get him into trouble. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about ways that Jesus shows radical love to the most untouchable, undesirable people. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus hung out with the despised and Zacchaeus. Last week, we talked about how Jesus valued the outcasts. The woman that had the medical condition that she wasn't allowed to be near people, and yet he bent down and healed her. And so, like we heard last week, the religious leaders didn't like how Jesus spent time with outcasts and how he gave them worth and value when they were considered unclean. So these religious leaders were always trying to get him in a situation that would be compromising for him. And so today we're going to show you one of those examples. In John chapter 8, if you have your Bible, or you can grab one on the back table there in our stack. John chapter 8, we're going to read the first 11 verses. And as this story begins, Jesus is teaching. So there's a crowd, Jesus is in public, and he's teaching. And here's what verse 1 says. They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Actually, I have it on the screen. It's probably small. If you can read that, have fun. You can read along or you just listen. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, and he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Placing her in the midst of them all, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. And Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." So Jesus is teaching. There are some people in the crowd that aren't listening. They're trying to entrap Jesus. So they find this woman caught in adultery, and they bring her, and she's literally caught in the act. They throw her down on the ground. Not only are they excited to pass judgment on this sinner, but they get to use her shame and her guilt to trap Jesus into saying or doing something that could be compromising that they could use against him later, because they were wanting to bring Jesus down. They saw him as a threat to their power, their authority, and they began to look at him as a blasphemer. And so what is the trick that they were trying to catch Jesus in? Well, here's the thing. These religious leaders know that Jesus tends to show mercy to the outcast. We've already seen that in the two stories from the last couple weeks. But they also know that the religious laws that were mentioned say that you should what? You should stone an adulterer to death. And you know what stoning is, don't you? They would literally throw rocks at her until she died. So the law of Moses, passed down from God in the Old Testament, talks about that. So here's the trick. If he chooses to show mercy on this woman, he will be breaking the law of Moses. But if he chooses to allow them to stone her, he will be going against his whole history and character of love and mercy. Everything he's teaching, he'll be a hypocrite. So he's caught in a hard place. But Jesus isn't worried. He's not thrown off or caught off guard by this. And so he sees right through what they're trying to do, and he has the perfect response. And so let's jump right into our first discussion time and just hang right there on the story, and then we'll pick up and talk through the second half of the story. But jump in that first section of discussion questions. You'll have about 7 minutes to walk through those, and then we'll continue. To begin our second part, I've got something for you. So here's what I'd like for everyone to do. I'm going to have you come pick out a rock, and I want you to hold this rock until the end of the night. But listen up, here's the rule. This rock is just for you to hold. No hitting, no throwing, no anything other than just hold it in your hands. All right, so come pick a rock, and then sit back down in your seat, and just keep that rock in your hand until the end of the evening, okay? Good choice. All right, so let's bring it back in. Now you've got your rock. Imagine we left off where as I was retelling the story, the Pharisees said, "What do you say, Jesus?" And they're waiting. Imagine you're right there amongst all the crowd, and you've got your rock, and you're ready to go, and you're ready to unleash your rock and throw it at that woman, and you're just waiting for Jesus to give you the go-ahead, and you're getting more angry and more angry every second, and Jesus is just standing there, and it's quiet, and you wait, and Jesus isn't saying anything. Instead of answering the question, he bends down and starts doodling in the dirt. You can't tell if he's writing or drawing or what, but it's frustrating you because he's not answering. And then finally he looks up, and instead of engaging in a debate or even answering their question, he says something completely unexpected. He tells you, "Go ahead." Listen up, guys. Don't lose it. He tells you, "Go ahead and stone her. You can kill her if you haven't sinned yourself. If you haven't sinned yourself, you can be the first one to throw that stone in your hand." And so one by one, they drop their rock as they're convicted in their heart from what Jesus has told them. And with that one genius statement, Jesus reminded the crowd that we've all sinned. We all deserve judgment. That's not the issue. The issue is how much God loves us and is willing to forgive us and give us grace. Now look what happens next. Jesus doesn't just simply leave the woman there on the ground and save her from her punishment. The truth is, she did sin, and she needed that sin needed to be addressed. When we sin, Jesus doesn't just overlook our sin. He didn't just overlook her sin. He addressed her sin. He gave her grace and forgave her, and then he addressed her sin when he says, listen, I don't condemn you. He bent down to where she was and says, I don't condemn you, but I don't want you to do that anymore. Don't sin anymore. And so he's saying the same thing to you and to me. Listen, I know you've sinned. We all have. I have, and you have. But Jesus isn't here to condemn you. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to save you out of that sin. John 3:17. You know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Well, who knows the next verse? It's just as important. John 3:17 says this. For God did not send his son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Do you see the difference in the way that the religious leaders treated this woman's sin versus the way Jesus handled her sin? The religious leaders simply wanted her to be punished. No second chances, but Jesus wanted her to be restored. Aren't you glad that Jesus wants to restore you when you sin and give you second chances? 1 John 5:4 says this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let me read that again. I'll put it up on the screen. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. What restores us? It's our faith. And so, too often we respond, I think, when we look at other people with condemnation or judgment, when we see other people's sin, and when we look down on other people, we judge. And this is a lesson for us in how Jesus chose to respond. Jesus did just the opposite. Although he was fully, rightfully able to punish her for her sin, he chose instead to give her a chance to call her into a new life and to offer forgiveness. And so here is the big idea of everything I just said, is that Jesus restores the sinful. He hangs out with the despised, he values the outcasts, and he restores the sinful. And so as we just kind of apply this, what about you? Is there a particular sin or maybe a particular person that comes to mind that you just have a hard time forgiving for something that they are doing or something that they have done? Like the religious leaders in the story that were unforgiving of this woman. They wanted something bad to happen to her. Maybe you have even wanted or wished bad or harm onto someone else. Maybe you identify more with the woman that was caught in her sin. I think most of us probably do. That we're caught. We know we've done wrong. Maybe you find yourself caught up in sin right now, and you know that you just keep going back to it, and no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you do, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you want to stop, for some reason you can't. And you know what that's like, and I do too. Sometimes when you're in the middle of that, you start to believe that your sin is too big, you've done it too much, it's been a part of you too long, God can't forgive me. But listen, it's really important because we all struggle with sin. And the shame that comes, just like the shame that must have been on that woman laying in the dirt, must have been incredible. And you know what that shame is like, and I do too. And in those moments, we think, can God even forgive me? Yes, he can. And he did, and he showed it. He showed us that in this story, and he's showed it over and over again through Scripture, not only in Scripture, but in our lives. Every day, God is forgiving us. And so Jeremiah 30:17 says this, and then you'll talk. For I will restore health to you, and your wounds will be healed, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. If you've ever felt like you were on the fringe, if you were pushed aside a little bit, if you were left behind, if you've ever felt like an outcast, if you've ever felt like you have drifted from God, this is what he says. I will restore you, and I will heal your wounds because you have felt and been called an outcast. God values the outcast, and he restores the sinful. So take the last 7 minutes in that discussion time, and then we're going to do something with your rock to nail this home. All right, so go for it. 7 minutes as you talk about these last questions. Hey, so listen up. I don't know what God said in your heart tonight as we were talking, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond. whatever that is. And so whatever sin you are struggling with, just like this woman was, the rocks that those religious leaders were hanging on to, they did not want to let go of. The only thing that allowed them to let go of that was when they listened to Jesus, they were convicted in their heart, and they were able to walk away. And so if these rocks represent our sin, that's what we need to do tonight, is to listen to Jesus, what he says about our sin and how he can forgive, to let go of them and walk away. And so I'm going to give you a few minutes to be able to process that and think through, what is that one sin that you have had a hard time letting go of, that one that you just struggled to maybe forgive yourself for, the one that you keep coming back to, the one that you know Satan is going to keep tempting you on, and it is just your struggle. I mean, right now, it's popping in your head. You know what it is. I don't have to talk about it a long time. And so that sin, I want you to come up. I'm going to start some music just in the background. And this is just going to be a moment between you and God. This isn't conversation or talking with each other. This is a moment between you and God to confess and repent, which means turn around and go and leave that sin behind. So there's some markers up on the front here. And I want you to come up and take that rock and write whatever that thing is that you're struggling with. You're not going to have to show anyone, but be honest with God. He knows what's in your heart anyway. Write that one sin, that thing that you're struggling with, the one thing that if you could ask God, God, take this out of my life, this one sin, what would that be? Write that down on the rock, and then as you're kneeling down to write it down, just take a moment and pray, kneeling at the steps, the altar. Let's just make this an altar before God. So write that sin down, take a moment to pray, and then when you've prayed and confessed that sin to him and asked for his forgiveness, then come and set your rock just down at the bottom of the cross. You know, the cross is a representation of forgiveness. And so where those rocks are already placed, you can set them down right at the bottom. And just like you're letting go and dropping it and walking away, let it symbolize you giving that sin to God, okay? So when you're ready, come on up. I'll start some music and just take a few minutes, just quietly. This should be just quiet time between you and God now as we confess these sins and give them up to God. Let's go.